And we're back for another live episode of AW360 from the 20th anniversary celebration of Advertising Week New York. Now in its second day, Tuesday, October the 8th, 2024. And I'm here in the studio with Angela Freo.
Hi, how are you?
I am excellent. Creative director at Joan.
Yes, at Joan. Creative director of brand and design specifically.
Brand and design at Joan. Important distinction though.
Yeah, I think so. It's a new little enclave we've started 2023 where we're really investing in branding and design and working with businesses to establish that really important segment.
Let's back up a little bit. For the uninitiated, tell us about Joan.
Yeah, so Joan is an advertising agency. We are based in New York and London, and we recently expanded also to Berlin. It's a female-founded agency, one of the only ones, and it's inspired by all the incredible Joans historically, Juan Mero, Joan Didion, Joan of Arc, all these incredible artists and creators that have paved the way for us. So, yeah, we're about 100 people now, I think, and we work internationally, and we're a great little family. We actually have so much fun in our day-to-day. So, yeah, very grateful for our owners, Lisa and Jamie, who have trailblazed the way for us.
You recently launched an online gallery called Artificial Objects, which is exactly what the name implies. It's a gallery of everyday objects, sort of reimagined in clever ways with the assistance of AI. Now, first things first, I have to say that I do wish some of this stuff was real.
I do too.
The balloon floor lamps and the Cubist kettle.
Yes.
I really want a Cubist kettle.
Thank you.
but what inspired the creation of artificial objects?
So I've always been interested in industrial design. I mean, I am a designer, so I do industrial design, interior design, you know, architectural design and graphic design. These are all kind of disciplines that use the same thinking, design thinking. And so I was really curious how we could use AI to benefit the design process, which is kind of tricky because we can't use it in graphic design. Because in graphic design, you have to use typography, and AI doesn't quite understand letters yet. It only understands visual patterns. So letters are a little bit out of its realm as of right now. So we were curious how we could use it for other forms of design, like architecture and industrial design and fashion design. And so, yeah, we just started playing with it, experimenting with it, and seeing what we could do with it. And we landed on a really wonderful process that we are sharing in Artificial Objects. And it's really meant to be a brainstorming tool, and it's meant to be a research project to teach other designers how they could use it in their work.
And do you feel that there are creative disciplines that generative AI is more adept at, or maybe not more adept at, but more helpful with than others, at least as things stand right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think right now the best use of AI is really as a brainstorming tool. Essentially, if you're curious how the process worked, we trained several AI bots on industrial design and our preferences. So we trained it on things like materiality. We trained it on things like bent plywood and molded plastic and tubular steel, all these materials that we work with in industrial design. And we trained it how to use these materials. We also trained it about sculpture and cubist art and different forms of art historically. And so we created these specific bots that only understood the world through industrial design. That's, if I asked it to create a banana, that banana would be a table or a chair. It only understood the world and those parameters. And from there, we could brainstorm all the ideas we wanted to. We could, you know, make a sofa out of bread, or we could create a lamp out of a balloon. And so it gave us all these wonderful provocations and sketches. And so I think for industrial design or architecture or fashion design, it's a wonderful tool for exploration.
Can you explain in layman's terms? I'm very fascinated about this. When you say trained it, what does that mean?
So there's different ways to train AI bots. We trained ours visually through photographs, photographs of material, photographs of sculpture. We trained it photographically, but you could also train it through text or words. We partnered with EverArt to create this. EverArt is a New York-based AI company. They're very B2B, and they have a really easy and accessible platform if anyone is curious.
There was a lot of fear last year around AI removing creators from creativity. And that was just like a running theme. This year, it feels like creatives are actually starting to embrace AI, or at least They say they are. I feel like there's still a little undercurrent of fear there, but is that your finding just in general?
Oh, absolutely. AI is a bit of a dirty word right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's complicated, right? Because, you know, we live in a moment where we have to be very protective over our art because, you know, the economy we live in doesn't really support us in the way we need. So having copyright over the pieces we make is really important. But the reality is that everything we create has been influenced by the world around us. You know, as a designer, everything I make has been, whether unconsciously or consciously, influenced by all of the work that surrounded me and preceded me. That's the way art works. We're a community of artists, and whether we know it or not, we're always being influenced by our peers. So the way I've kind of landed on working with AI is the same ethics apply as when I'm working creatively. If I create a design manually and it feels too similar to someone else's, I'm not going to use it. That's part of my own integrity as an artist and a way to respect others. If my AI bots generate something that feels too similar to somebody, and frankly, I wouldn't use those sketches anyways, literally, they're just sort of inspiration pieces for the engineers. But I wouldn't use it. And so I think the ethics of the individual artist still apply when you're working with AI. It doesn't change much. We're still using our own morality when we're putting things into the world.
Looking ahead 5 years or maybe even 10, how do you see the day-to-day role of generative AI in the creative space?
Well, let's see if we can get the environmental effects under control. And assuming that we can, I think it's going to change how we create fundamentally. It's going to change how we write. I mean, even when I write now, I always start with ChatGPT, whether I should admit that or not. But it's such a useful tool to just get you started and to help you. I mean, it's like the world's most powerful thesaurus. And so it's a thesaurus for not just words, but phrases. So that really helps. And it's kind of similar with sketching or with ideation. The AI can give you so much variation that you could do manually, but it would take a lot more time. So it's just going to speed things up immensely, and I think there's going to be some pretty massive effects of it. We don't want to talk about it right now. It seems like people are a bit afraid of it, but it's a reality we're dealing with.
I very much appreciate both your transparency with ChatGPT and your concern for the environmental effects of all the AI CPU processing that's going on in the world and getting that under control. That's something that most people don't bring up.
It's complicated. I think as a culture, we're just trying to grapple with this new technology and how we move forward with it. And I don't think there's any easy answer. I think there's, in the nuance, there is the way forward.
If one wanted to find out more about Joan or wanted to view the Artificial Objects Gallery, where would they go?
Yeah, absolutely. So you could go to artificialobjects.net. That's where the gallery is. And you can also see the research process there. Everything in an Artificial Objects is part of Creative Commons. So we've created it essentially as a free access tool for everybody to understand how it works. So you can see it at artificialobjects.net. You can go to Joan Creative to learn more about our agency. And specifically, you can go to Joan-Design to learn about our little design team.
Is there any plans to make the bread couch?
The bread couch, I'm afraid not, but some of the pieces, actually, we are working with 3D designers and furniture engineers. I mean, here's the thing. All these pieces are sketches. They're not made to be functional objects. And so turning them into functional objects is kind of what we're doing now, and that's going to be a really fun piece of the project.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you.